Former FBI Director James Comey may soon be getting a visit from Secret Service agents. They may want to know more about a now-deleted social media post. Some are taking it as a veiled threat against President Trump. Fox's Rebecca Castor at the White House with more.
A social media post is causing quite a bit of trouble for former FBI Director James Comey. And sources tell Fox News the Secret Service has some questions. Comey shared this photo on Instagram Thursday showing shells on the beach outlining the numbers 8647. 86 informally means to get rid of. It's used in bars and restaurants to strike items from menus, but others use it as slang for murder. As for 47, Trump is the 47th president.
That meant assassination. And it says it loud and clear.
Comey deleted the post and made another saying, "I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me, but I oppose violence of any kind, so I took the post down." But Trump isn't buying it.
He knew exactly what that meant. A child knows what that meant.
And after two attempts on Trump's life last summer, a criminal investigation could be coming for Comey.
We cannot allow people to get by without being held accountable for this kind of public call to assassinate the president of the United States.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. This is a big story. And so for the next actually two podcasts, Bruce and I are dissecting James Comey's record, this particular situation about finding shells on the beach that just happened to say, indicate assassinating the assassination of President Trump, just happened to see it. Did he just happen to see it? And what does that mean? What does it mean to 86 someone? What does it mean? I bet you haven't heard the real story, and you're going to hear it on at least today's broadcast. Bruce is going to join me. Bruce spent 24 years with the FBI. He knows the culture. He knows, you know, he smells a rat when he sees one. And so we also lived through all of this. I've covered James Comey and the Russian scandal and the election and way back before that. And way back to the Clintons is when I started really covering news and politics. So we have a lot of common knowledge about what's happened and Comey's part in so many things that you may not even be aware of. And so we're going to discuss those things on the next 2 days of this podcast. And by the way, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast by just going to sandyrios.com. Honestly, that's so easy if you are not podcast friendly, if it's kind of off-putting because you don't know how to do it, go to sandyrios.com. But if you are a person who enjoys podcasting, we are on any podcast platform. Also, if you're an AFR listener from long ago, we are on AFR.net because that's our home base, AmericanFamilyRadio.net. So I hope that gives you some ways to find us and you can share it. I hope you will share it with your friends. Because we're doing the best we can to bring you the best information that we can and as accurately as we possibly can. Well, Preborn was our first sponsor, and they still are sponsoring the show, and I'm so glad because we are partners in the business of saving the lives of unborn children and reaching the moms to tell them that there is a better way. Like Theophilus said, Paul said to Theophilus, "Oh, Theophilus, there is a more excellent way." There is. You don't have to terminate the life of your baby. And once you see it on ultrasound, if any moms are listening to me and you see that baby in your womb, you just lose your interest in ending its life. It's a wonderful thing. And so we just want to ask for your help. It's $28 to provide one ultrasound. That's $28. And you can go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy to make that donation. And of course, if you want to be a monthly supporter, that's great. We ask you to do that and become part of the family of people. This is a wonderful way to save the lives of babies and to also reach the moms. Wonderful way. Preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, you might want to take out a paper and pen because we want to give you some information that will be useful. It will be something that you probably haven't heard anywhere else. I guarantee you that. Certainly the definition of 86 someone. You haven't heard what you're going to hear today, so sit back and enjoy today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
That is a ridiculous and insane statement to make, certainly within this context, but especially coming from a guy who's the former director of the FBI, a guy who spent most of his career prosecuting mobsters and gangsters, people who know and execute other humans and use this exact lingo of 86. Comey himself admitted in his follow-on message that he knew that this was a political statement. Well, the only reason he knew that, Jesse, was because a little over a month ago, a bunch of anti-Trump, anti-Elon Musk protesters were proliferating the use of this 8647 slogan, which was a veiled call to action to murder the sitting president of the United States. So for Comey to think that we, the American people, are so stupid as to think that he, as a former FBI director, former prosecutor, and someone who clearly pays attention to what's going on, would believe his lie that he didn't know what this actually was calling for. The dangerousness of this, Jesse, cannot be underestimated. When we have two assassination attempts on the president's life, when we have people who look to guys like Comey, who've been celebrated by MSNBC and the Democrat elite and CNN as the beacon of integrity, the law and order guy, the guy who would tell the truth no matter what the consequences. This is the guy who's issuing a hit on President Trump, the president that the American people voted for. So it's guys like Comey and others who call the president the modern day Nazi, people who are in great positions of influence, who are saying that President Trump poses an existential threat to our country. These are people who hate democracy and hate the American people because they cannot stand that the people overwhelmingly chose to elect Donald Trump and send him back to the White House. So they are seeking other means to get their way and to try to remove him from that position.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. And this is a subject that we must discuss this morning. Because I think there's a lot of things that, as much news as I've watched the last few days and as much as I've read, I think there are things that have not been said. That was the voice of Tulsi Gabbard being interviewed by Jesse Waters on Fox News. And by the way, I owe her an apology. I've been a critic of Tulsi, but man, after that statement, my heart is softening because she is spot on. You heard the story at the top of the show. You heard exactly what happened if you haven't been following the news. So Comey, you know, finds these shells on. It was just amazing. It was just really amazing what he found. They just said 8647. It was just such a moment for him. Yeah. So that's an abject lie. We want to prove that today. I want to tell you that I can't think of anyone I'd rather interview on the whole story of James Comey, as the whole story. I think the Wikipedia page, which we don't rely on for our information, but it helps give us a timeline, was like 37 pages on James Comey. So we won't get to all 37 pages of information about his really, from my perspective, wretched career. But I can't think of anyone I'd rather interview than my husband. Bruce was an FBI agent for, in his lifetime, 27 years, I believe it was, Bruce, 24 years. And before that, he was a prosecutor in Cook County. He understands the courtroom. He understands the law. He understands the FBI culture. And he certainly is a patriot. Along with me, we've been covering this stuff this past several years. So I've asked him to join me this morning. Good morning, honey. Thank you.
Good morning. You overwhelm me with your introduction. Thank you.
Yeah, but I mean it. I live with you. And I know, you know, you're Mr. Humble, but it's the truth about you. And we've had some great discussions. I keep saying to you as we've talked this week, and don't say that, don't say that, save it. So hopefully we'll remember all those things that we didn't finish saying to each other. All right, so the story is, of course, that he's walking on the beach and He just sees this shell formation. It just happens to say 8647, beautiful little shells. He's just amazed. It's just a beautiful thing. And he tweets it out. And then when he's confronted about 86, meaning, oh, well, something that you and Bruce and I are going to explain to you, Bruce, is something you've never heard about what 86 really does mean. And then 47 just happens to be the number for President Trump. He's president number 47 for the country. Just an accident. He had no idea it was political, he told us. All right, Bruce, is there any way, and before we get into the definition of it, is there any way that an FBI agent wouldn't know what this means?
Not unless he was incompetent, and I don't believe that James Comey is incompetent in that way. I believe he's incompetent in many other ways, but he certainly knew the phrasing, the phrase 86 and what it means.
Okay, now you told me, I was just stunned, and I haven't heard this anywhere, so what does 86 mean?
Well, I'm very surprised, actually. I think this has been misstated all weekend, what the meaning of 86 is. Actually, to 86 someone goes all the way back to the Korean War. The United States was flying F-86 fighters in combat against the Russian MiGs during the Korean War. And when an American pilot would score a victory, in other words, kill a MiG, it was called he 86'd him. So this does mean to kill someone. It means to kill another pilot, to kill another aircraft. I have no doubt that people are right when they say, well, you know, 86 is used as a term in restaurants, but I can tell you it goes much deeper than taking something off a menu.
Is it something in law enforcement or dealing with criminals? Is that a phrase that police use or...
Well, it's more used by people on the street, but police officers absolutely understand what 86 means. If you're talking to a suspect and he uses the term, they 86 somebody, you know that means they killed them.
So this happens with James Comey, the former FBI director. I don't know if I said that. He's the former director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And we're going to talk about his history a little bit. He's like 7 feet tall. He's huge. And he loves himself. If you go on his Instagram page or anything that he tweets, it's all these, he loves himself. He really does. If you don't believe that, just go and look yourself and see what you think. There are, you know, millions of pictures of him and things like a rainbow T-shirt that says loving dad or something like that. We wonder if one of his six kids is gay. I don't know. It's a strange thing, Bruce, because he's a very big man with a great presence. A great talker. He's written novels. Now he's becoming a very successful novel. And yet, he does such strange things.
He really does. He's an enigma, really. I really got concerned when President Trump took over the first time. And you have to remember that Comey was appointed as the FBI director by Barack Obama. He was not appointed by Trump.
He's the Republican appointed by Barack Obama for some strange reason.
And you have to, and to put that into context also is the press loves to say James Comey is a Republican.
Yep.
But if you look at his registration, he was a registered Republican until 2016. Then he went unaffiliated. And 2016 precedes. That's right after Donald Trump was elected. So right in the same year that Donald Trump is elected the first time, all of a sudden Comey unregisters as a Republican.
But Barack Obama had appointed him, I think, in 2013. But
right.
Before we get into that, let's finish up on 26. This 8647, Bruce, because I think there's more to say about this. There's, you know, obviously the cry from people that that love this country and love this president is, what are they doing? And so Tulsi Gabbard, who's the head of the Defense National Intelligence Agency, was asked this by Jesse pretty much, and this is clip four.
We're taking this very seriously. As you mentioned, the Department of Homeland Security and specifically Sean Curran, the current Secret Service Director, a man who has been willing to lay down his life as the lead of President Trump's Secret Service detail for years now. He takes this seriously and is leading the investigation into this threat. There has to be accountability for this. There was a Rutgers study that just came out a little over a month ago, Jesse, that asked respondents their view on these calls to assassinate President Trump. And over 55% of respondents felt that murdering President Trump would be, quote unquote, somewhat justified. This is the effect of people like James Comey doing this kind of stuff. This study also pointed out that there is a, quote unquote, assassination culture that is starting to take over the views of what they call the extreme left. We, the American people, cannot take this lightly. Whatever your politics, we cannot allow people to get by without being held accountable for this kind of public call to assassinate the president of the United States.
Another thing to add to that, Bruce, is that President Trump was in the Middle East when he tweeted this. And that's a place, if we think people hate him here, he is very hated there, and people there are very willing to kill. And so, you know, our even nondescript people off our streets are trying to assassinate him. But it was a very ill-timed and, we think, purposeful tweet.
Yeah. Well, I think the context of the entire situation involving Comey is really needs to be looked at, because I'll guarantee you, even if you are just an average citizen and you go on the internet and you tweet something like that, 8647, you are very well maybe going to get a visit from the Secret Service as to whether or not you're threatening the president's life. Now, think of the influence a person has who has held the title of director of the FBI. He's been an attorney general. He's led many high prosecutions. This assassination culture that Tulsi Gabbard was speaking about, think about the kind of people that, you know, you have 55% of these people saying, yeah, it would be okay if Trump got killed. Now you add to the fire a person like James Comey advocating, really. I think this is an advocation.
I do too. I do too, completely.
Not just a coincidence. You cannot tell me that he was walking down that beach, saw this, and just innocently thought, oh, I think I'll tweet this.
And had no idea it was political.
Yeah, and even no when confronted, see, this is what a bad liar James Comey is. First, he puts that on there on his Twitter account, 8647. Again, knowing full well this means to kill President Trump. And then when he's asked about it, why did you put that up there? He goes, well, I thought it had political meaning, but I didn't really know.
I wasn't sure.
And okay, there's lie number one, at least. And then he takes it down. Now, if it's so innocuous, why are you taking it down? You've explained it. Just leave it up. But he knows now he's in trouble. And again, you have to... People are really wound up on the left, and all they need is some justification, quote unquote, to go ahead and harm President Trump. You know, we've heard statements from these guys that have taken shots at President Trump or tried to get close to him to take a shot. They are influenced by people in office that advocate that Trump is a threat to democracy, that he's an existential threat to the country. Those things matter when you say them, and it matters who it comes from.
Absolutely. In fact, I want to get to that in a second, but I want to throw another thing in here. This particular story has been used as kind of an excuse. I've heard people say that he's trying to promote his new book. Well, that, you know, that's kind of a clever way, I guess, because this is the description of his new book that's coming out that he has pictures of all over his Instagram and Twitter account. U.S. Attorney Carmen Garcia is trying to take down Samuel Buchanan. Now, this is the premise of his book. These are his characters. I want to read it again. U.S. Attorney Carmen Garcia is trying to take down Samuel Buchanan, a far-right media personality with a popular podcast vilifying those he thinks are destroying America, intellectuals, immigrants, and people of color. Garcia believes Buchanan went far beyond the protection of the First Amendment when he singled out his enemies by name and suggested something should be done about them. His fans, this podcaster, this conservative dude they're describing, his fans have obliged killing or grievously injuring some of his foes. Now, Bruce, this means he's been deep in the woods of thinking about how someone might encourage people to kill and assassinate, to give this as an excuse, to say that he's just trying to promote this book. It just is, to me, proof he knows exactly what he was doing.
Well, and I think especially because he uses that context of a First Amendment protection, because a lot of this stuff on the left is driven by people who no longer believe that all speech should be protected by the First Amendment. They think it should be speech should be subject to hate speech laws, political correctness, and they get very angry when someone like you or me expresses their opinion about something that they don't agree with. And if you poll those kind of people, they will say they have a right to stop your speech. And, you know, stopping it can be done in many ways, but one of the ways is to kill somebody. And we've seen lots of confrontations on the street over First Amendment protections.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to come back to what should happen to him. I want to come back to that, but I want to go back in time. And I think maybe we can do it this way, Bruce, because we want to make the case that Comey has tremendous animus against all things conservative and certainly Trump. He hates Trump. And so I will just do it this way. This is a Fox 2 report, and this is just part of their setup, and let's listen. It's about Comey and Trump.
Comey and Trump have a complicated history. The president fired Comey during his first term while he was investigating Russian meddling in the 2016 election. But the White House says Comey was terminated because he mishandled the Hillary Clinton private email server investigation.
Secret Service Director Sean Curran will lead this investigation. He's credited with saving the president's life after Trump was shot at a Pennsylvania rally. At the White House, Rebecca Castor, Fox News.
All right, so this complicated history is something that I want to discuss with Bruce, because I know that many of you know these things, but honestly, there's so much to know, it gets very confusing, and we're going to do our best to make our way through this. So President Trump appointed James Comey to continue to be the FBI director, although he was the director for Obama. We're not quite sure why, but someone whispered in his ear, it could be, that Reince Priebus was there. Remember, he was making terrible decisions then, and we knew that the people around him hated him. And so one of the first things that I knew about Comey, Bruce, was that he had a private meeting with President Trump. We know this now. We didn't know it then. And presented to him this report about President Trump's so-called behavior in Moscow. And I remember, I wish to goodness we had the tape, because I can tell you, I was at this microphone doing the morning show for American Family Radio when that story broke. I read the entire dossier, and I said at this mic, this is ridiculous. This is like tabloid stupidity. They had President Trump for cover your children's ears. He supposedly is standing on a bed in Moscow urinating, and he's got a prostitute. It's just sick. So now, Bruce, I'll let you say a word and then I'll go back to that.
Well, this is what I never have understood about James Comey, unless you believe that he has been out to get President Trump since he took office. Because if he is the upright standing person that he makes himself out to be, if this was true, what he was briefing President Trump about, he would have stepped down. And he would have said, I can't work for a man like this.
That's a good point.
But he didn't. In fact, you know what he was doing? When he met privately, and let's get the context for this meeting, because about 2 weeks before that, Obama was still president. It was about 2 weeks till the inauguration. And he had a briefing in his office, in the Oval Office, from the intelligence agencies. And when that was over, he sent many of the people out, but he kept himself, Joe Biden, James Comey, who was the FBI director, the deputy attorney general, who was Sally Yates, and his national security advisor, Susan Rice. Remember her?
Uh-huh.
And briefed them about they needed to go after Michael Flynn, who was going to become the president's national security advisor. And the context they were going to use is that Michael Flynn had illegal meetings with a Russian counterpart prior to taking office, and that this was the reason that he had this meeting is because the Russians had helped Donald Trump get elected and they had undermined Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election.
That's what they said.
So that's, yeah. That's,
allegedly, that's what they said.
That's the setup. So now, you know, again, if Comey thought Trump was involved in this kind of operation, surely he should have stepped down if he thought this was true and if he thought it really happened.
Yeah.
Now, he did not step down. So fast forward to what you were just talking about, this meeting between Comey and Trump, and Comey did it in a covert way. He asked everyone to leave the room, and he had a private briefing with President Trump. This is right before he's going to take office. And he says, listen, Mr. President, we have these videotapes of you being urinated on by prostitutes in Moscow in a bed, and we want to warn you that this stuff is out there.
And just thinking of you. Only
yeah,
thinking
I'm
of
only
you,
thinking of you.
Trying to help you.
And, of course, he doesn't have the tape with him. He doesn't have any proof that it actually...
They don't have a tape. They just had written a dossier that was prepared by...
Yeah.
To be clear.
But what I'm saying is there's no proof other than this dossier, quote, unquote, the Steele dossier that had been, you know, paid for and prepared by people working for the Hillary Clinton campaign, this Michael Steele. And so... Trump, of course, knows this is ridiculous, and his reaction basically isn't, oh, we got to worry about this. It's, well, what will this do to the public relations for our administration if this rumor gets out? And so what I'm getting at here is Comey is trying to get leverage on Trump immediately. He's trying to say, look, I've got all this evidence against you. They, you know, the rumor was this is what J. Edgar Hoover used to do to presidents, is he would have a file on them and not release the things, but he would go and meet with the president and say, you know, I have these things. It would really be a shame if these got out into the public, but I will watch over them for you.
Yeah.
And basically, Comey is doing the exact same thing.
Right.
He's trying to put the hammer on Trump.
All right, so just to be clear about that dossier, it was completely fabricated. They used a former member of British intelligence, and they made up, even reading it, is just a silly document. So Comey, then, he doesn't have in mind just ingratiating himself to Trump or creating a something he knows about him. He actually leaks this, Bruce, CNN, actually. New York Times, I think.
Well, he leaked it to a friend of his, Daniel Richmond, who used to be a federal prosecutor, and he gave Richmond instructions that I want you to get this to the press. So he's kind of trying to, Comey's trying to insulate himself, like, I didn't leak it to the press. I told a former federal prosecutor. And then this prosecutor, Richmond, did leak it to a reporter at the New York Times that there was a tape and that Trump had done these things in Moscow.
Yeah. Yes, so, and the rest of the press had this dossier. They disseminated it to all of them. John McCain helped do that, by the way. But they wouldn't print it because, you know, they were a little nervous about printing it. But this was the dog whistle. This was the time to do it because it gave them permission because the story was that Comey had met with Trump and talked about it. That made it a story. And then all of them printed it. And that's what started this horrible, yeah. Horrible unfolding of disaster for President Trump.
If you remember, during the Clinton and Trump campaign in 2016, Obama made the statement that Donald Trump will never be the president. And all of a sudden, now here comes Trump as president. So what does Obama do? He tries to undermine Trump right from the beginning. So that's to put into context what we're getting into
right
here. And I think we should add at this point that eventually the dossier was looked at by agents of the FBI, and in one day, experts who handle these kind of things often determined this dossier is complete bull feathers.
They should have
called
me.
There's nothing here.
Bruce, they should have called me.
They should have called
me. I don't know
you.
Why they didn't call me.
Yeah, so that's how, and the press, of course, couldn't have been more happy to run with it. If you recall, there was mass hysteria over this quote-unquote dossier that
and then,
had all this damning information about Donald Trump.
And, of course, then the Trump administration, they just were back on their heels.
Yep.
He's just getting ready to be inaugurated. And so back to General Flynn, though. We have to tell that story because General Flynn was the National Security Advisor. He was the one military leader under Barack Obama who confronted Barack Obama on what was happening in the Middle East. He was the only one, the only general who would do that. He understood Sharia. He understood Islam. He was a smart man. And that's why President Trump chose him. In fact, Michael Flynn did something that no one ever did. He went out on the campaign trail to help President Trump win because he knew how bad things were.
Well, and if you remember, when they were transferring power, when Obama was getting ready to leave office and he met with Trump, the only person that Barack Obama told Trump that he should fire from his previous administration was Michael Flynn.
That's right. As he was leaving, when they were having that last meeting, he tells him that.
Of all people to pick, Michael Flynn, probably the most qualified person.
And honest.
And honest.
Honest.
But Obama knew that Flynn knew where the bodies were buried.
And he was bold, and he would not stand down. And so this is what happened. They devised this plan, and you'll find out who did it in just a second. They devised a plan where they would send two FBI agents into the White House. They were trying to set up, I think this was before the inauguration. This is when the team is coming in, they're trying to set up. And so things were in chaos in the White House because it wasn't prime time yet. And so Michael Flynn I know Michael Flynn. I know this, and this is they've made a movie about this, so I suggest you watch it. But basically, he knew these agents; they'd talked before, and so he didn't. When they called and said, "Can we come talk to you?" they were like real friendly. Hey, can we come talk to you for a minute? He said, "Sure, come on over." And so they come over, and it's in the basis of that conversation where they say he lied to the FBI. They set him up. The lie was that he talked to the Russian ambassador Kislyak. That was the sin of Michael Flynn, and then lied to the FBI. Now, it's too complicated for me to explain to you why that was not true, and Michael Flynn was trying to be honest like Jeff Sessions later about when it happened. But they destroyed him over that, and Mike Pence, the vice president, joined in to share the outrage. I'm telling you, Pence was part of the undermining from the very beginning. And Michael Flynn was fired by the president because President Trump trusted Mike Pence. That's how this happened. Now, how did those agents come over? Let me just play this clip. Someone is being interviewed by Nicole Wallace, and she asked about that.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the sit room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration. The FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official. You would work through the White House counsel and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that hilarious? To set up a general who's honest, and you know that he's honest, and you're setting him up to destroy him because you're trying to destroy his president. I think he sent over, I think it was Peter Strzok.
Peter Strzok went over. The infamous Peter Strzok.
Peter Strzok, yeah.
How he just, how Comey just mocked the whole process that is supposed to be followed when you go. And I'll really get on my soapbox here because, number one, why do they feel the need to trick Michael Flynn? In other words, why not go through the White House counsel?
And why laugh about it?
Why not set up an appointment? Why not tell him why you're coming? Why do you just walk in on him? And you heard it was not a coincidence. He goes, I sent them. Did you hear the dripping, like, I got him. They got you in there. That's despicable to me. You know, Flynn is he's trying to find out where his office is, and now these FBI agents are asking him questions. And you know what? When they released his interview, the quote-unquote discrepancies between what he said publicly and what he said to them that was written down, is so minute. I that's not the basis for a criminal prosecution. And I told Sandy, I know this is going to sound like I told you so, but I remember telling Sandy when I read who went to do the interview, that being Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok was high up in management with the FBI, as was the other agent that went. When I was with the FBI, you did not send managers to do interviews. Street agents that work those violations or work that program go and do the interviews. Now, why all of a sudden is Michael Flynn so important that they have to send a manager? I'm telling you, this was a setup from the word go.
No kidding. And they did the same thing to Jeff Sessions. Let's just mention that, because President Trump appointed Jeff Sessions, Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama. By the way, he was a very good friend of mine. Just a real man of honor, I have to tell you. I've known him. I had known him for years. A gentleman, a Southern gentleman, but fire in his belly about immigration. Stephen Miller was his whatever he was to him. He was the one who led the charge. Jeff Sessions was the champion in the Senate, fighting back with all those rhino Republicans who wouldn't do a thing about what was happening in immigration. So Jeff Sessions was a wonderful, wonderful man, still is.
And you know, Sandy, just to back up for a second, I'll guarantee you that the sending of Peter Strzok to interview Michael Flynn was with the full knowledge and consent of James Comey.
Of course.
This was not an accident. This was not a coincidence. This is just, again, part going after of the Trump administration to try to take its legs out before it even gets started.
Yeah. Well, that's part one of my discussion with Bruce, my husband Bruce, who is a former FBI agent, former prosecutor in Cook County, that's Chicago. So he knows a little bit about this stuff. And because I've covered it for so many years, I know a little bit about this stuff. And so we're going to continue our discussion. We'll tell you more about what happened to Jeff Sessions. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton and her emails, her secret server, hidden server in her bathroom. We're going to talk about James Comey's record as a prosecutor, things that you might not have heard, things that he did when he was working in the Attorney General's office that were weird, even back during the Bush administration. So that's what we talk about on day two. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year, despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And tragically, the total number of abortions is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death. Combined, I mean, that is just, with the abortion pill, it's even worse, and we've talked about it at length. And let me come into you a prior podcast cast. And let me commend to you a prior podcast when I had a long discussion about that abortion pill and what it does and women's testimonies, because I don't think you're hearing that on the news either. So I hope you'll look back on that. But we're in the business of saving lives, and we're partnering with Preborn to do that. They show moms the ultrasound. of the baby, and women rarely, I can't say that. I'd say over half of them decide to keep their babies once they see them in utero. Also, preborn is in the business of giving like a counter to the abortion pill as long as they've only taken the first one, which kills the baby. But it takes some time, and so preborn has a pill that they can give that often reverses the process. After the second pill, it's too late because the baby is expelled and it's just too late. This is how tragic it is, and this is how seriously preborn is going about trying to save women's lives and babies' lives. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. $28 supplies one ultrasound for one mom to save the life of one baby, maybe two. We've heard a couple of stories of twins in the womb who've been saved. So go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Sign up to be a monthly donor if you like, if you're motivated to do that. But just do the best that you can, whatever God lays on your heart that you can do. And go to preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I saw that this morning. You know, there's a big time gap. And he knew exactly what that meant. A child knows what that meant. If you're the FBI director and you don't know what that meant assassination. And it says it loud and clear. Now, he wasn't very competent, but he was competent enough to know what that meant. And he did it for a reason, and he was hit so hard. Because people like me, and they like what's happening with our country. Our country's become respected again, and all this. And he's calling for the assassination of the president.
Obviously, he apologized and said he wasn't calling for violence. But
look, he's a very bad.
What do you want to see happen?
I don't want to take a position on it because that's going to be up to Pam and all of the great people. I have Cash. I have Pam. I have great people. And I'm going to let them, because if I tell you something, they'll say, oh, I'm not going to get involved. But I will say this. I think it's a terrible thing. And when you add his history to that, if he had a clean history, he doesn't. He's a dirty cop. He's a dirty cop. And if he had a clean history, I could understand if there was a leniency. But I'm going to let them make that decision. But you know, he knew exactly what it said.
It's a dangerous time.
Well, President Trump was in the Middle East when this all happened. You heard his discussion with Brett Baer on Fox News. Brett was over there, too. And so he's pretty upset about it. I think that, you know, the attempted assassinations might be a little fresh on his mind. And these James Comey, who he fired, to think that this guy could tweet this nonsense, 8647, and say he didn't know what it meant was ridiculous. And by the way, could I say Brett was rude to interrupt President Trump and to say that Comey had apologized. Comey did not. Oh, I'll read what he said. You tell me if this is an apology. He took down the first post and he said, I posted earlier a picture of some shells I saw today on a beach walk, which I assumed were a political message. I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me. But I oppose violence of any kind, so I took the post down. Was that an apology? That was more pious, ridiculous, thinking people are stupid comments about what he saw and what he did. There was no apology to President Trump. So when Brett interrupted President Trump to say, well, he apologized, that was a lie. Brett knows better than that. And I think that needs to be really clarified. Now, I want to repeat to you what you heard in the opening of this show, because, again, I don't think people really know what 86 someone really actually means. And Bruce explained it. During the Korean War, the fighter jets were called F-86. They were the F-86s, F-86, F-86. When they would shoot down, American pilots would shoot down planes flown by Russians who were trying to fight for the North Koreans. The Russians flew MiGs. So the American soldiers who were fighting in Korea during the 50s said, We 86'd the MiGs. I 86'd him. That's the F-86 fighter pilot. That's the F-86 fighter plane, which shoots down MiGs. We 86th a MiG. That's what they used to say. That's where the phrase came from. It does not mean, you know, the restaurant is changing the menu. Now, they may have come to mean that in some areas, but that is a very shallow, dangerous, misleading explanation of what 86th someone actually means. I think Tulsi Gabbard said in her clip, she's given told us that the left on tweet and other places are asking for the assassination of President Trump, of Tulsi Gabbard, of all these people on the cabinet, and of Elon Musk, and they are using that term. Don't tell me James Comey did not know what he was doing. What a dangerous man. From my perspective, what a dangerous man. Now, the Secret Service has interviewed him. They did that over the weekend. We don't know the result of that. There are other investigations. I believe, as I read, I can't think of the name, but a couple of congressmen are calling for, are referring to the Justice Department an official investigation and bringing charges against James Comey. You know, it's one thing for a regular person. Let's say the guy that tried to shoot President Trump at the golf course to be investigated. He's in jail, by the way, for doing that. Or the shooter, the young shooter in Pennsylvania, Butler, Pennsylvania. That's bad enough. But this is a former FBI director, a man that many people thought was just the gold standard, charming, impressive. And he is the one. Remember, he just wrote a book about this very thing, about some fictional character, a podcast, like a Tucker Carlson. He didn't use the name, but kind of, you know, it was that kind of person who's calling out his enemies. He calls them enemies. For those of us that are conservative on in media, they're not our personal enemies. They're enemies of this country. And so the story is that this prosecutor is trying to get this conservative media person for calling out these people and asking people to do something, and then there have been assassinations and hits. This is a repeat, I know, but I just want to tell you, James Comey is deep in the weeds of talking about this kind of thing. There is no way in God's green earth he didn't know exactly what he was doing when he put in his tweet that he saw 8647 in the sand and shells. And it was just amazing when he saw that. It was just an amazing thing to see. Some people say it's political, but I don't know. I didn't know that, and I didn't know what 86 means. If you believe him, then you don't listen to this show on a regular basis. I don't think you do believe it. What should happen to him? I started down the track of an ordinary person. Some of them, Root, I think his name is in jail right now for trying to shoot President Trump at the golf course. But Comey is not a normal person. He is a man of high distinction, a man who's won lots of awards, a man who's writing these novels about such things. He's making millions of dollars on these novels. He's like a champion for some people. And he tweets this, 8647. The punishment should be worse. I mean, that's a biblical principle. The teachers are held, God says, those of us who teach, and that's me. I mean, I'm one of those, will be held to a higher standard than those who are the listeners. We will be held to a higher standard, and I believe that's true of James Comey. And I would make the case also, this was an attempted insurrection at the highest levels of government. It was what he participated in, and Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama, and Joe Biden, and Susan Rice, and the others, what they participated in was an attempted insurrection of this country. And I would even go further to say, I believe they're guilty of high treason. I believe they are guilty of high treason. That's my opinion. And of course, as Bruce already said, I don't think anybody in our government is ready to go there, but I am. And I'm just telling you, I wanted you to understand how serious what James Comey did by tweeting this was. And I hope you do. Well, I want to thank you for listening today. I couldn't say these things and have this platform if it weren't for my sponsors. Timothy Plan is high up on the list. may help you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.